Welcome to the QB List Fantasy Football Podcast. I am Eric Smith. I am joined by Drew DeLuca, as always, going through week 7 sit start. The Philadelphia Phillies do not have a playoff game tonight, so Drew, we have his full attention. We will go through some of the tougher decisions of the week and help you out with your lineups, because it is a mess this week. So Drew, other than watching a pretty exciting baseball team, how are you doing right now?
Oh, great. So just got back from taking my oldest out for her birthday for dinner, so can't complain. Life's good. The Phillies are doing well. The Eagles lost to the Jets. Oh, wait, that's not good. But yeah, other than that, life's pretty good. So, yeah.
You can't have it all, Drew. You got a hot playoff team. That's a good start for now.
That's so. Right. Yeah.
All right. Well, we will go through, like I said, all of the injuries. There's a ton going on this week. We're going to spend a lot of our time in injuries, not so much in Drew's positional rankings. We're just going to talk through some of these situations. So we're going to spend a lot of time up top. Of course, though, please check out the Sit Start article at QBList.com. We're going to go through every single fantasy relevant player and check out the What We Saw waiver wire podcast every Monday night, Tuesday morning. They're crushing it over there. So let's get right into it, though. We got a lot to cover today. Up top, it's trade season, Drew. A trade deadline is approaching, I believe, on Halloween. Real blockbuster here. Did you enjoy Mecole Hardman on the Chiefs for the first time? I hope you did, because the Jets traded him right back to the Chiefs for a late round pick swap. So this Chiefs receiving core is a mess as usual. But does this register on your radar at all, Mecole Hardman back to the Chiefs?
Well, hold on. Anyone who enjoyed Mecole on the Chiefs the first time around and expects any meaningful production this time around is just a straight up masochist. So good luck to you. So, but my initial reaction is this is not good news for Sky Moore. It's also a disgusting barrier to meaningful playing time for Justin Ross. Just when it looked like there was a window potentially for him to sneak in there and start getting some snaps, they go on deal for Mecole Hardman. So I don't think this really moves the needle much for Rashee Rice. I don't see more than a small negative impact to Kadarius Toney. I think those two are still going to play meaningful snaps. I wish it would mean fewer empty routes for Marquise Valdes-Scantling, who is about as useless as a Capri Sun without a straw, but I don't think fantasy managers are going to be that fortunate here.
Yeah, MVS will be on the field. They're not taking him off the field. I will say Mecole Hardman was not even playing for the Jets. I do think the Chiefs will use him. So, yeah, I wouldn't be too worried about Rashee Rice, but the rest of them, this can't be good. So I think someone once compared the Chiefs to like almost like a hockey rotation. They just rotate in and out these receivers, and I think that's kind of what they're doing. There's just like line change. A new set of receivers comes in. It's kind of a mess to follow. So I don't know. One of these days we'll get a receiver out of this Chiefs group here.
Yeah, it's all been a while since Tyreek Hill. We haven't had one, right?
So. Yeah, one of these days. All right, let's get into running back injuries. That's going to be probably about half of this show today. At one point, whoever runs the Yahoo Fantasy Football app, I think they were going through my team player by player and adding injury updates during the day today. So that's what it feels like to be a fantasy manager right now. So let's start out with Christian McCaffrey, oblique injury. He's hopeful to play week 7 against the Vikings. I don't know. Do we just add Jordan Mason and Elijah Mitchell and see what happens later? Like, this is a valuable backfield here.
Yeah, I think it's a smart play to kind of hedge that situation and add one of those two, because whoever, I think Shanahan's kind of shown us that he prefers to kind of have a guy and then, you know, maybe somebody taking a little bit of steam off here or there. But Mason's the healthier of the two, so he's probably the best short-term add in this situation, especially with Deebo Samuel also dinged up, because Deebo, as we know, sometimes likes to get in there, mix it up in the run game. But I think that's just means more carries there potentially for whoever takes the reins from McCaffrey. So that being said, Elijah Mitchell was ahead of Mason on the depth chart prior to his own injury. I do think, though, he'll offer more utility rest of the season. But I think right now, if you're looking for meaningful snaps and meaningful opportunity, I think Mason's probably the way I'm going.
Yeah, hopefully CMC plays and this doesn't matter. But I would warn people on Jordan Mason. Like, he is a special teams player, so he's active every week, and he's on the roster. And it does seem like when there's an in-game injury, since he's active, he tends to get in there and get some snaps. We haven't quite seen him, like, take over the backfield when there's an injury. So I think he's worth adding, but I would agree with you. Elijah Mitchell is the way more exciting player if CMC does miss time. But we got to get Mitchell healthy first, so I don't even know if he's really healthy yet.
Right.
Okay. Let's move on to the Los Angeles Rams backfield. Kyren Williams has been tearing it up. I think he's top 5 running back on the year, potentially, somewhere in that range. And Kyren Williams is going to miss multiple games with his ankle injury. They're expecting him back after the Week 10 bye at the latest, but it could be that long. So the Rams' options include 6th-round rookie Zach Evans, Royce Freeman, who was on their practice squad, they just called him up. They recently signed Miles Gaskin and Daryl Henderson to their practice squad, brought Daryl Henderson back from previous years. So it's a nice matchup this week against Arizona. I kind of want to play one of these Rams running backs, Drew, but I have no idea who it's going to be without Kyren Williams.
Yeah, well, I have a couple of cheap dynasty shares of Evans, so I'm kind of rooting for him here. I was starting to wonder if he was ever going to get any opportunity. That said, it does make me want to pump the brakes a bit when I see them adding three veterans to the mix here, especially one with extensive experience in that offense. And Henderson's kind of like the ex-girlfriend that McVay and the Rams just can't quit. They give him carries, they go away from him. He's persona non grata, and then he's gone completely. And all of a sudden, now he's back in the picture. So I think we're all just kind of like, you know, the best friends going like, seriously, dude, really? And, but that's kind of where we are right now with Henderson. So it would not surprise me at all if Henderson ended the day leading the team in carries. I don't think that he's the odds on favorite. I think that's probably Evans. But I think Henderson's probably going to be in the mix here. And so definitely for sure is a person that I'm looking at as a cheap ad in the deeper league if he's still hanging around. So Royce Freeman will probably get a couple of carries. I see him maybe rotating in and out. We'll see with Miles Gaskin. I'm not exactly sure if he's just a depth piece, a warm body, or what. But I know a lot of people are excited about Zach Evans right now, but I think there's definitely more than enough reason to kind of be a little hesitant. So I did not. I put bids in for him. I did not bid through the moon for him. Who knows? Maybe he'll get in there, and mix it up in a powerful offense. Because they are definitely firing on all cylinders, the Rams are right now, and it's a good opportunity for them in that situation. But I mean, if you have Evans, great. Might as well play him, especially with so many teams on bye, so many injuries. I think it's kind of really going to be anyone's guess as to how it shakes out. So like I said, you know, adding all those veterans plus that rookie that no one really expected much from, 2 weeks ago, we're just kind of looking to see, you know, how the dice shake out here.
Yeah, the thought had crossed my mind as someone who has Kyren Williams in quite a bit of leagues. If he did hit IR, was I going to hang on to him? I mean, you know, it's a long time to hold on to someone this time of the year for 4 weeks just to park him on your bench if you don't have an IR spot. I suppose now he's not on IR, so we definitely need to keep stashing him. They definitely like Kyren Williams, and he's played well, so I would expect him to have a role when he comes back, but eventually you got to start considering, you know, what's that roster spot worth if he misses too many weeks. So I hope he gets back soon. The Rams don't play till 4 o'clock on Sunday. I do think it would be worth maybe before the game pick up a Daryl Henderson or a Royce Freeman or a Miles Gaskin. Just like if you have someone in the 1 o'clock games who struggled, you're going to dump them anyway, depending on how your league works. Maybe pick one up, see what happens. But I kind of think we're looking at a committee here. So I would prioritize Zach Evans, but I think it's going to be a mess after that.
Yep, I would agree.
All right. Another backfield that was giving us production and now is just ravaged by injuries. Detroit Lions. David Montgomery is going to be out at least a week. Dan Campbell seemed kind of pessimistic. I don't know. I think it's going to be a multi-week thing for David Montgomery, but we'll see. Jahmyr Gibbs was limited in Wednesday's walkthrough. He may be coming back from his injury. Looked like we were set up for Craig Reynolds to take over this backfield, take over the workload and keep throwing awesome blocks like he did last week. He's even popped up on the injury report. He didn't practice on Wednesday with a toe hamstring situation. So this squad's pretty decimated at running back. I don't know what we're doing here, Drew. It's against the Ravens, tough matchup, but this is a team we want a running back on.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Divine Azigbo and Muhammad Ibrahim are still out there. If you have a penny or two and you want to throw one at those two, but I don't think that's it. I think Reynolds is the guy. I think we talked about veteran rest, but as a thing, I think it would make us sit in a situation here where for Reynolds to get one, especially considering they're looking at giving him a potentially heavy workload this coming weekend, it would make sense to give him a rest day. So I think it's one of these situations here where the coaching staff kind of likes the player in Reynolds more than the fantasy community. And I know we all want Jahmyr Gibbs to just kind of sweep in and assume most or all of Montgomery's extensive workload. But if you're paying attention to what the head coach said about both of these guys only about a week or so ago, that seems very unlikely. And in fact, if you're not sure if Gibbs is even going to play on a snap count due to his nagging injury, even play at all. And I'm not really understanding why everyone's fading Reynolds so hard because of that. So I know he's a Jag, honestly, but he's a Jag on a behind a very good offensive line on what's a top five NFL offense right now. So That's interesting to me. And I feel bad for those who plopped down dozens of fab dollars for Amari DiMercato last week when Reynolds could have been had for a fraction of as much this week or even for free last week. So, but I think Reynolds has the ability to come in here and really kind of surprise people and put up a bigger week than most people think.
Yeah, so keep an eye on the injury status. Drew has Craig Reynolds ranked RB29. Fantasy Pros expert consensus rankings has that RB38. So Drew's pretty far ahead of him. I would tend to side with Drew on this one. I would note on the Lions, obviously a really great offense. They have 9 rushing touchdowns on the year. That's the fourth most in the league. If you look at yards per attempt, though, they're like 18th. They have not been all that efficient of a rushing offense so far. That's not everything, yards per attempt. But I would say, like, we're probably chasing touchdowns here. So that might swing you a little bit here if you're PPR league or standard. I think you're really hoping for a touchdown with Reynolds. But this is a good offense to be chasing one in. So I don't mind rolling the dice there.
Yeah, and volume as well, I think. And that's the thing with Montgomery. He gets volume, and that role, we saw it last year with Jamal Williams, who led the league in touchdowns last year in that very same role. So the touchdowns are coming. They're going to come. I think it's the function of the offense and how they like calling things in the red zone and what their coaching staff is comfortable doing. And that's not Jahmyr Gibbs' role. That's going to be what Craig Reynolds is going to jump into. So I think he's well positioned to score a touchdown. I don't know what the odds are on that and what the Vegas has for it, but if it's attractive, you know, I wouldn't be opposed to throwing a couple bones on it. But we'll see. I'm a little bit higher than consensus on Reynolds, and I think the logic behind that is sound. So.
Yeah, and just to be clear, you do have Jahmyr Gibbs in the 20s as well. So it's not like we're saying not to play Jahmyr Gibbs here. He's certainly got a lot of upside. Just be realistic with his with his output here. So especially coming off an injury. Okay, let's get on to the Chicago Bears. Roschon Johnson is still not practicing after missing last week with a concussion. I think that's a pretty big red flag on a Wednesday. Yeah. We kind of thought he'd be back ready for this week. Obviously, Khalil Herbert is still out. Last week without both of them, Deontay Foreman had 40 snaps, 15 carries, 1 target. Darrington Evans had 24 snaps, 9 carries, 1 target. Bears play the Raiders this week, so not a bad matchup. So what do you think about this Bears backfield heading into week 7?
Yeah, well, the missed practice today and still not being cleared from the concussion protocol was unexpected, at least by me. I would have expected him to be cleared by now. So I'm kind of concerned, and I kind of feel bad for recommending as my number one waiver wire added running back as recently as yesterday. So I did a Twitter space with Brandon Lane and Britt Flynn from Fantasy Alarm, and I was on the record saying that he's my number one waiver add, even though he was, for running back. But I'm not so sure. I expect him to be cleared between last night and today, and that did not happen. So I hope that he gets right soon. I'm not saying that as a guy with multiple shares. I'm saying that as a guy, as a human being. It's always concerning when you see someone with having lingering concussion issues. So I hope he's okay. I hope he's close, and hopefully he gets well and gets back on the field soon.
Yeah, for sure. Raiders are allowing some rushing touchdowns, so not a bad spot for Deontay Foreman here. Darrington Evans, he's getting snaps. I think there's probably not enough upside with Roschon Johnson coming back and Khalil Herbert eventually. He's got a pretty short window here, but I suppose if you're in a real deep league, maybe Darrington Evans is worth a pickup as a flex play. So really deep, though. Okay. Let's check out weekly. I'm in some dynasty leagues where it's pretty rough. Yeah. All right. Let's check in on the Dolphins backfield, our weekly check-in. Mike McDaniel said that Jeff Wilson Jr. is, quote unquote, ready to go. It actually sounded like he was ready to go last week, but they didn't want to use the roster spot on him for active game days. So he didn't commit to whether he'd be active this week, but I would kind of think he is. There's been even more injuries in this backfield. It's down to Raheem Mostert, Salvin Ahmed, and Jeff Wilson Jr. They're at Philly this week. What do you think? We just ride in Mostert to this part? Is that the only part we're riding here in this Dolphins backfield?
Yeah, I think it's Mostert for me, and I'm not really sure that I want to plug in a rotational back from this offense against the Philadelphia Eagles unless I really have no other option. They've been really tough against the run this year, and I know Jalen Carter didn't play this past week, but Jordan Davis is actually stepping it up a little bit too. They still have Fletcher Cox in the middle. They've got a pretty solid defensive line. So they're not infallible by any stretch of imagination, but it's not a matchup that you want ideally for a guy coming off of an IR stint to walk right into that fire. So I'm going to be generally fading Jeff Wilson Jr. even if he is active, as long as Raheem Mostert is the hot hand and ready to go in front of him.
Yep. And Eagles actually have given up second fewest points to fantasy running backs. So they have been a tough matchup. So, okay. Let's get on to Jamal Williams for the New Orleans Saints. Limited practice, so it does look like he's nearing a return potentially Thursday night football against Jacksonville. I'm not sure there's a whole lot of room here left after Alvin Kamara, but just figured it was worth noting, Drew. Jamal Williams is on his way back.
Yeah, well, he didn't look all that special in New Orleans here before he got hurt. Obviously, we just talked about, you know, not even a couple of minutes ago about how he led the NFL in touchdowns last year, but we haven't seen that guy yet in New Orleans. So he's a decent stash. But he's not somebody I'm looking to plug in this lineup in a lineup this week if I can help it. Again, people coming right off IR, it's not going to be not the ideal time to start them. And while Jacksonville is nowhere near Philadelphia in terms of the quality of that defense, you know, they're still not total slackers. So, and then with Kamara still there, with Taysom Hill reminding us that he's still hanging around last week, there's still people in the way. Kendre Miller's still there. So I don't see the opportunity necessarily there. I'm not convinced that the touchdown volume is going to be there when you have people like Taysom Hill looking to vulture them. So he's kind of an avoid for me. I mind stashing him in deeper leagues, but I'm not looking to play him this week for sure.
Yeah, I think you can leave him on waivers or drop him. I mean, well, I guess you wouldn't drop him now if you already had him. But yeah, I think we're kind of chasing touchdowns here. So that's probably the upside. This offense has not been very good either. So, okay. All right. Our next segment, I was just kind of going through all these quarterback injuries, Drew. And I think maybe when you're setting your lineups, you can just ask yourself, does your fantasy pass catcher have a healthy quarterback? And if the answer is yes, then you should start that player. I think that's all we have to do right now this week. Just is the quarterback healthy? Okay, play him. So we're going to go through a list of quarterbacks that are injured. There are a lot. And let's just kind of decide, are we avoiding these teams? What's going on here? So we're going to start with the Raiders. Jimmy Garoppolo with his back injury didn't practice Wednesday. He's up in the air this week. It could be Brian Hoyer again against the Bears. Nice matchup, but Brian Hoyer. So what are we doing with these Raiders pass catchers?
Yeah, well, it's gross either way because it's either the Bears or it's Brian Hoyer. So, but it's, I mean, we're talking about Davante Adams, who's obviously an amazing talent and future Hall of Famer. Jacoby Myers has actually been the 1B, but there's been plenty of weeks where he's been the 1A, and I think he's had as many targets as Adams has this year. So both of those guys to me are still startable, but I think we can kiss high end production goodbye when we have Brian Hoyer under center. Not that Jimmy Garoppolo is, you know, vintage Tom Brady or anything, but he's still a capable NFL quarterback. So I'm kind of interested to see what this means for Michael Mayer. And he's been seeing a rise in his snap share of late at the tight end position. So I'm not sure how Hoyer affects that. But I'm still rolling Adams and Jacoby Myers out there. I'm just kind of pumping the brakes on expectations for them.
Yep. Next up is the Cleveland Browns. Deshaun Watson is still not practicing with his shoulder injury. He actually said he's not sure he will fully recover in 2023. Not sure what that means, Drew, but I guess we're avoiding all Browns other than the running backs right now. Like PJ Walker looked rough last week. I know they won that game, but he tried to throw that ball away multiple times against the 49ers.
Yeah, well, Amari Cooper, we talk about what this means for the team. Amari Cooper actually flashed last week on a few plays. He reminded everybody that he's a good, talented receiver. And before we bury PJ Walker, I'm glad you put up that they actually won the game. Let's remember he actually beat the San Francisco 49ers, a team that was, you know, a quarterback or two away from, you know, making the Super Bowl last year, at least in one game in particular. but it was dreadful weather conditions there as well. So he had to face the 49ers defense and the weather. And then came out with a W in a game that no one expected him to win. So I'm kind of holding Cooper right now. I'm not that excited for, you know, a David Njoku resurgence or, you know, a renaissance from Elijah Moore or anything like that. I don't really see anyone else becoming relevant from a pass catching standpoint. And similar to, you know, what we said about Adams and Jacoby Myers above, I think we have to kind of, you know, forget about elite production. But I think Cooper's still start worthy as a, you know, a flex or, you know, wide receiver three perhaps. But he's still somebody you could put in the lineup, but just you're not going to get what you expected when you drafted him, at least for the time being.
Yep. Colts middle of the pack, allowing fantasy points. So not a great matchup, not a terrible matchup. You could start Cooper. You could start the running backs. I think that's what I'm targeting, but they do have some talent there. So, okay. Daniel Jones, neck injury was limited on Wednesday. He might play this week. I think I'm going to give him a week before I trust him in my lineup, because his entire game depends on his rushing ability. So it's a really nice matchup against Washington. It's tempting when we get to these QB streamers later. It's rough out there this week, but I don't think I want to put Daniel Jones in my lineup. Even at a super flex, I'd probably still hope I had someone healthier.
100%. Next.
Next. Easy enough. All right, let's do this. All right. Trevor Lawrence, knee injury. He was limited on Wednesday. He does seem set to play against the Saints on Thursday Night Football. Do you have any thought of trying to find a replacement for Trevor Lawrence this week? It's injury on a short week. Like, just these Thursday night games are messy anyway. Like, what do you think about Lawrence?
Yeah, I'm with you 100% in that thought process, and I'm actually doing it. So it really depends on who's out there in waivers, who's on your bench. So I saw Matt Stafford sitting out there in a league, and he's over 50% owned. So it was kind of nice for him to still be out there. So I ended up picking him up. I think I had CJ Stroud. So with him being him in a bye, I just traded him for Matthew Stafford, basically from the wire. And so now I'm putting Stafford in there and sitting Trevor Lawrence. Like you said, Thursday nights are often letdowns anyway. He's got a short week injury, just kind of staying away from it. Why do that if you can put a guy like Matthew Stafford out there? So if you could find a guy with a pulse out there, maybe a Sam Howell, perhaps I might even start this week over Trevor Lawrence. That's I'm not trying to knock Trevor, but Sam Howell's been pretty productive this year. So I feel comfortable starting Sam Howell over Trevor Lawrence this week as well. My point is there's probably good two or three people out there that you can consider over Trevor Lawrence this week.
Yeah, Drew's got him down right now at QB17. That sounds really low. ECR has him at QB14, though, so it's not like you're too far out of line. So we've got him as not a QB1 this week. Obviously, injury news turns. Maybe it works, but we're almost to kickoff already. So keep an eye on Lawrence for sure. All right. Justin Fields, for now, is foregoing thumb surgery. They haven't even ruled him out for this week, I don't think, but it sure seems like he's going to be out multiple weeks. Mm-hmm. I guess we're moving on from Justin Fields. So what does this mean for this Bears offense?
Ew. So yeah, it's a, I can't think of nice words. So I hate this for DJ Moore. There's not a whole lot there. I'm trying to find any positive and any silver lining here whatsoever. I can't think of one. I'm thinking, well, maybe they'll check down to the running backs more. Maybe that means we can expect a little bit more out of the running backs. But, oh, wait, we have Khalil Herbert on IR. We don't know what's going on with Roshon Johnson. So, I mean, are we going to get excited over Deonta Foreman? Is that what we're doing here? Maybe for a week? I don't know. So I think Foreman's definitely start-worthy. I think if you have more, you're probably you're still going to start him. Most likely don't have a whole lot of better options. But man, it's a shame because those two were Fields and Moore were just starting to click. And for him to go down like that, it's rough.
Yeah. I mean, that quarterback, we're looking at either Tyson Bagent or, I think Peterman, right? Isn't Peterman there? It's rough, the options. So, Nathan Peterman. So I don't know. It's tough in Chicago. Yeah. We'll get to DJ Moore later. I've got a sit start question with DJ Moore in it. So we'll get to him later, but, it's sorry, Bears fans. That's all I can say.
Well, I mean, I'm with Mecole Hardman coming home, and you got Daryl Henderson coming back. I'm kind of waiting for Smoke and Jay Cutler to make an appearance in Chicago this weekend. So we'll see what happens.
So. Hey, at least entertain the fans in the process. So I'm completely in for that. All right. Some more sad news. Anthony Richardson officially out for the season with shoulder surgery. So that is a bummer. He showed a lot of flashes this year, but it's a concern that he's been hurt, three or four times already this season?
Yeah, poor one out for Colts fans. This is really a shame. So he was really making believers out of doubters before going down. So I think Minshew probably raises, get Gardner Minshew coming in, probably raises the ceiling for Jonathan Taylor down the stretch. Michael Pittman had a 100-yard day. We saw Joshua Downs a week or two ago have a nice day. So I don't think all hope is lost here for the Colts offense. I don't know that consistency is going to be something that we're going to find on that offense. But this is not as much of a death knell to the fantasy prospects of Colts players as it is to some of the other quarterback injuries listed above. We just talked about the Bears in particular and the Jaguars. If Trevor Lawrence can't go, that definitely in a big way to me lowers their profiles. And so not to the point where I may actually sit some of them. So we'll see.
Yeah, Colts offense seems pretty well put together, and they can run the ball. So, yeah, I would agree. There's a decent infrastructure here for the rest of the players with Richardson out. So, all right, finally, Kyler Murray has returned to practice, and the Cardinals have activated his three-week period where they got 3 weeks to let him practice, and then they can activate him to the roster. The plan, they say, is for him to practice this week and next with a potential return next week, depending on how it goes. I kind of maybe think I want to stash him in some leagues if I need quarterback help, or particularly quarterback upside. But I think I want to wait till after this weekend, Drew. I don't want to sit him on my bench for 2 weeks. Maybe it gets delayed a third week. Then he struggles for a week. Like, I think I want to wait through this weekend and then reconsider adding Kyler Murray.
Well, I have some words to say, but since this is a family show, I'm just going to say that I feel like it feels to me like they're rushing him back. I think it's aggressive. I think it's borderline reckless on the part of a 1-5 Cardinals team to do that if they still view him as their franchise quarterback. And I also think it's kind of dumb if they don't view him as their franchise quarterback, because the only team ahead of them right now in the Caleb Williams sweepstakes is the winless Carolina Panthers, who's only one win worse off than the Cardinals are. So for I think a lot of his fantasy value on top of that, Kyler Murray's, is tied to his ability to run and create on the run. So from a fantasy perspective, he's padding your stat sheets with, some 30, 40, 50 plus yard running games. Also the ability to just kind of get out and create on the fly allows him to throw the ball downfield. And kind of, we've seen that time and time again. It feels like that's going to happen a lot less than before in this situation, coming back from major knee surgery, at least at the outset, at least for the first several games. So it just kind of feels like there's more reason for me to hate this development as a fantasy football owner than there is for me to love it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I would just say if you're the team and Kyler Murray's been cleared by doctors and he wants to play, which all professional athletes do, I'm sure. I don't know that you can really hold him back a whole lot. I'm curious just because the Cliff Kingsbury tenure was pretty much a disaster. That offense started out hot, but it didn't seem to be well constructed. And I don't know, with Joshua Dobbs, they've had an interesting offense considering the lack of talent. So I get all the reasons you're hating on this. I am curious, though. We probably won't see it this year. I don't know if we're going to get the old Kyler Murray back this year, but I would be curious what he looks like in this offense, maybe with a little bit more reinforcements next year. So maybe this is more of a dynasty thing. I don't know. I kind of want a comparison to the Cliff Kingsbury offense. That's what I'm looking for here.
Yeah, and you kind of alluded to it just now too, that who he's going to throw to. I mean, we have, like, I guess the animated remnants of Zach Ertz is getting 8 to 10 targets. We have Hollywood Brown out there getting, I know under Greg Dortch he's getting 8 to 10 targets, and he's like for what was it like 8 to 10 catches and like 50 yards and maybe a touchdown here or there. But there's no real stars right now, no real standouts, no real absolute studs on that offense ever since they traded DeAndre Hopkins away. So that there's not a whole lot of high profile talent or options, especially with James Conner on the IR, to make me really excited about what Kyler Murray's walking or limping himself into. So.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Yeah, I don't know if we're going to see 10 carry games from him out of the gate. So there's probably not a lot of upside here. So yeah, I'm curious to see how it develops and maybe kind of let someone else pick him up, let them drop him first. Maybe show some upside later in the season. So,
sure.
But definitely intrigued there.
Okay, I can see him having a couple of games down the stretch, like towards like for a fantasy playoff comes around. If you have deep league, it's certainly okay to stash him. I would just really pump the brakes on expectations in a big way.
For sure. Yeah. Well, there's more news we could talk about. A lot of it we're just kind of hoping is veteran rest days on Wednesdays. Yeah. So let's move on to the rankings here. We're gonna go through some. Briefly here, some players that Drew is higher on and lower on than consensus. We're going to start at the running back position. Let's start out with the Ravens running backs against the Lions this week. Drew, you're a little bit higher on both Gus Edwards and Justice Hill than expert consensus. Gus Edwards, RB23, Justice Hill, RB30. That's about 5 spots ahead on both of them. So it's a rough week. I think they're back end RB2 flex plays this week, but what are your thoughts on the Ravens running backs here?
Yeah, well, it's not a cakewalk of a matchup by any stretch of imagination. It's the Baltimore Ravens defense is definitely no pushovers for sure. So, but this is the bi-pocalypse. There's a ton of teams on bye. We just talked about how many injuries there are. So given the dearth of options here, I think it's fair to kind of look at them at that but from a default perspective. I'm not expecting, what you would typically get out of production from an RB2, but I just kind of feel like they're just going to finish in that general area of 23 to 30 So, you know, 24 to 30, somewhere in that ballpark. So I think Edwards is going to get carries. He's going to get looks. He's probably going to get 12 to 15 carries. I think Hill's going to get a good amount of touches as well. He'll probably get 8 to 10 carries and maybe 4 to 6 targets. He'll catch most of those. So I think both of them offer some fantasy utility in a situation where it's hard to find production or even consistent volume at this position. I think they're both worth plugging in there as flex options, maybe even emergency running back twos.
Yeah, I mean, Gus Edwards has been racking up 40-plus yards every week, getting 10-plus carries. He's only got one rushing touchdown. Definitely could see that normalize a little bit. Last week, Gus Edwards, 44 snaps, Justice Hill, 27. So they're both seeing a pretty good share. But like you said, the Lions defense, I mean, they are improved this year. It's not the old Lions defense we're quite used to. So, this week, though, they're playing. They're in an offense that has a pulse. It's probably worth a start here. So I agree. Don't go out of your way to get Gus Edwards in your lineup, but there are a lot worse options for sure. So, okay, let's get to some players you were lower on. We're going to stick to a whole backfield here again. And I think in general, Broncos running backs against the Packers, you're lower on. I know you're lower on Jaleel McLaughlin. ECR has him RB26, which seems awfully high. You have him at RB37. I'm not sure if you're low on the rest of the Broncos, but I have a feeling you are here, Drew.
Yeah, I don't feel like I can trust this backfield at all. So I'm generally avoiding it where possible. So you look at some of the utilization rates, but McLaughlin, I think he played 21 snaps, 2 targets, 7 carries. Javonte Williams had 18 snaps, 10 carries. Samaje Perine, who was supposed to be somebody of significance this year for fantasy owners, has only 9 snaps and 2 targets. I don't think he had even a single rushing attempt. So I just don't feel like I can trust this backfield at all. I'm kind of avoiding it where possible. I can get behind flexing McLaughlin, though, in this matchup against the Packers, because the Packers are fairly generous to running backs. He is the most explosive player of these three, at least at the moment. I might actually have to start him at running back 2 and Scott Fishbowl behind DeAndre Swift, because I have Nick Chubb, who's out for the season. I have Tony Pollard on bye, and Roschon Johnson, who's still a question mark. Nick Chubb, what could have been? So I think Chubb and Pollard, and that's just, I was feeling pretty good. And Swift, I was feeling so good about this a few weeks ago, and here we are. Yeah. Now I'm looking at, Jaleel McLaughlin, maybe I'll play him. So that's what we've come to. I think that's where we are too, from the in regular leagues too. If you're, okay, maybe I'll start with Jaleel McLaughlin. Why not? Maybe he'll bounce off a big run like he did, a few weeks ago. So, I think 30s, mid 30s is probably a safe place for where we can look at him from a rankings perspective. I think I can get behind him as an emergency flex, and with this bipocalypse, you might have to put him in as a running back too in certain situations, and I guess you could do worse.
Yeah, I mean, the stats support most of what you just said there. Packers have given up the fifth most points to opposing fantasy running backs. And then the Broncos running game, actually, like yards per attempt wise, they're fourth in the league. The problem is they're getting beat by everybody and they don't get to rush the ball hardly at all. They're, bottom 8 maybe in attempts. So they're just not getting to run it a lot. But yeah, McLaughlin could pop one. It's a decent enough matchup. But I agree. I don't think any running back is going to end up with a workload, if they're all healthy, that makes this a backfield that I'm very excited in here. So unfortunate. Maybe they'll turn this offense around throughout the rest of the season, but I'm kind of fading all these guys as well. So,
All right,
let's get to a Discord question of the day for the running back position. Mike Perugini, he gave us a doozy here, Drew. We got a lot of names here and we need to pick two of these guys to start. So we've got the aforementioned Jaleel McLaughlin against the Packers, Royce Freeman versus the Steelers, Jordan Mason at Minnesota, Latavius Murray at New England, Damian Williams at Seattle, or Zach Charbonnet versus Arizona, who was one of the ones who popped up on the injury report today. So this kind of feels like a who's who of waiver wires right now. You need to start a couple of these guys. Who are you looking at, Drew?
Well, happy to help out a good paizan from the Discord here. So now that we just threw some shade at the Broncos and McLaughlin, it kind of feels wrong to recommend him here, but I kind of feel like it's the right move to do that, this crowd. So I think Mason, if CMC sits, is probably the best play of anyone in here. And then Latavius Murray, if CMC sits or CMC does play, I think is somebody that we can start. I think you're narrowing it down to three players here. That is Jordan Mason, Latavius Murray, and Jaleel McLaughlin. So I think Mason, if, like I said, if CMC sits, he's your number one. if CNC plays, I really want no parts of Mason. And to me, then it defaults to Latavius Murray and McLaughlin.
Yeah, I would agree. McLaughlin for sure. Latavius Murray has not been bad. He played 30 snaps to James Cook's 30 snaps last week. He doesn't look completely washed. He had 12 carries. The problem with Murray, he's not going to get you any receptions. You're maybe going to get a lot of touchdowns stolen. But yeah, I think Murray at least has a pulse, and I would not be super opposed to playing him. I might have tried to talk you into Zach Charbonnet home against the Cardinals. He's got a hamstring now. I'd keep an eye on that. I'd probably still go Murray, but I don't know. You could see the Seahawks getting up on the Cardinals and giving Charbonnet some work. But yeah, I agree with your McLaughlin, Latavius Murray. Those would be my priorities.
Yeah, I would agree. Murray as well, with the fact that Damian Harris, of course, left the game in an ambulance. Thankfully, he's okay. He has a neck sprain. But I think the odds of him playing, I think, are pretty low this week, which probably gives a slight bump to Murray as well.
I thought it was interesting that there's a report that Leonard Fournette was visiting the Bills. And then slightly after that, there was a report that there was lots of interest in Leonard Fournette, but he not signed with a team. I was like, okay, I think that's the agent putting out some information there. He still did not sign with anyone. So, okay, let's get on to wide receiver here. A couple players Drew is higher on. We're going to start out with Christian Watson, Packers wide receiver. Drew has him wide receiver 17. ECR has him 25. Plays the Broncos this week. What do you think about Christian Watson?
Well, I'm probably too high on him here at wide receiver 17, to be fair. I mean, part of that might be just I'm a believer in Christian Watson, just like Ryan Heath before me here. So both of us were very high on Watson. So I was high on him on draft day 2022. I was thinking they might draft him in the first round. Sammy, I went out there with our good guy Sammy out there, and I was like, why do they draft Quay Walker when they could have had Christian Watson? And lo and behold, Quay Walker is turned into a player, and then they end up getting Christian Watson anyway. So what do I know? So, that being said, Watson's had some pretty impressive showing so far early in his career. That Denver defense is vulnerable for sure. I do smell blood in the water with it, and I think a 2-touchdown game here wouldn't surprise me. But to be fair, neither would an injury aggravation in the second quarter of a hamstring. So that's what we're getting with Christian Watson here. We don't really know. It could be amazing. It could be an absolute dud. But I guess I'm a little bit more leaning to the optimistic side, just because he's coming off of a bye week and has had plenty of time to kind of rest and get right. So I would pay close attention to the reports that come out. If I'm seeing reports that say he's a full go, he's 100%, he looks great, then I'm sticking with 17. If I'm getting any kind of he might be on a pitch count or we're not quite sure what this, then I'm dropping him. So that could be in line with ECR, maybe even a little lower. But I think the coming reports in the next coming days are going to be critical as to where we end up on Christian Watson. But for now, I see every reason to be positive.
Yep. And I mean, the early week report does say he's off the injury report. So we'll see after a couple practices if that remains true. But we're at the point where it's getting thin with buys and injuries. The upside is very much worth chasing. So he's going to give you some duds, but he's also going to get two or three deep shots that could pay off. So
yeah, he could win you a week. Honestly, that's kind of where I'm at. He has potential to come in here against that Denver defense and absolutely blow it out of the water and just win you a week single-handedly. And that's kind of why I have him where I do.
Yep. All right. Next up is the talented rookie, Jordan Addison for the Vikings. Drew has him wide receiver 25. ECR has him wide receiver 29. So four spots higher, playing San Francisco this week. I just want to check in on Addison and then kind of just the Vikings without Justin Jefferson so far. Let's see what your thoughts are on these pass catchers.
Yeah, I mean, it's scary to think about Kirk Cousins, number one, without Justin Jefferson, and number two, in a primetime game. So I feel like I'm kind of staring at an alligator with an open mouth here, putting him at 25 above consensus. But I think this is more of a byproduct of a bipocalypse than anything else here, given the matchup. But I do expect Cousins to have at least had some garbage time in this primetime special here, and I expect Addison to be the prime beneficiary of that.
Yeah, he ran as many routes, got as many targets as KJ Osborne last week, so he was very much featured. We're still kind of waiting on the complete breakout for Jordan Addison, but he does have four touchdowns through 6 weeks. So, yeah, I would feel pretty confident to keep rolling him out. I know San Francisco, it's a tough matchup, but you can only do so much this week. So I would definitely play Addison, and hopefully he keeps growing, and it's still early in his rookie year. So hopefully that 100-yard touchdown game is coming soon. Okay. Some receivers that Drew is lower on compared to expert consensus. We're going to start out with George Pickens here for the Steelers. ECR has him wide receiver 27. Drew has him wide receiver 31. Four spot difference at the Rams. What are your thoughts on Pickens this week?
Well, he had that big blow up game. I guess it was Baltimore. I think he had a pretty big game. And I don't know. I want to believe in Pickens. I like the talent. I really do. It's that offense. So Deontay Johnson's likely return is coming up here. So that would normally make me actually kind of react in a positive way and from a rising tide, lift all boats perspective. But again, I don't really believe in this offense until they give me reason to do that. So it's probably quite possible that Johnson's return could have a negative impact on Pickens and his target volume. So we'll kind of have to see how it goes. So I'm a little lower than consensus, only like three or four spots, I think. So I think consensus basically looks at him as a high-end wide receiver 3, and I'm looking at it as like a mid-wide receiver 3. So I think either way you're starting him. I'm just interested to see how the return of Johnson's going to really kind of affect things here, because it could be really good for him. He could be getting some more favorable matchups and just absolutely blow it out of the water like he did against Baltimore. Or he might be a situation where, you know, Pickens decides, good, Deontay Johnson's back, and I'm going to start peppering him for targets, and Pickens is the odd man out. So, and we'll see. Freiermuth coming back healthy could also impact Pickens as well.
Yeah, and I mean, this Rams defense, actually, they've given up the third fewest fantasy points to receivers. I mean, they've played Seattle, San Francisco, Cincinnati, Philadelphia. They've played some good teams. So this Rams defense, surprisingly, has not been a pushover this year. So you've got him at 31. That's still wide receiver 3 range. I'm probably still playing him in most rosters, but I do think as much as this offense has struggled, Deontay Johnson and Freiermuth coming back could really cut into his work. So we'll see. Hopefully he can push them to the side, but Johnson is demanded targets throughout his entire career. So I don't know if that's going to change just yet. So next up, we have Josh Reynolds, wide receiver for the Detroit Lions. Drew has him wide receiver 48. Expert consensus has him wide receiver 43. I think this is maybe one of those players that someone might be looking at in a flex spot, maybe even wide receiver 3 spot if their roster is in tough shape. So why are you lower on Josh Reynolds against the Ravens defense?
Well, with Josh Reynolds, he's a guy that when Amon-Ra St. Brown was out and Laporta was hurt, he was a guy I was kind of looking at. But I think the situation's changed now. So Amon-Ra St. Brown is back. Laporta's back. He's not 100% yet, but he's still getting tons. He had 11 targets last week. So given that matchup and how those targets are being dished out, I just kind of feel like there's probably options I like more than Josh Reynolds, even in this bi-apocalypse situation we got going on here.
Yeah, I mean, last week we saw Amon-Ra St. Brown get 14 targets. Reynolds got 3. He can make some plays downfield, so he's kind of been skating by on that a little bit. He'll get you about 60 yards in a lot of these games. But, I tend to agree. I think there are too many mouths to feed there, and I don't think he's a special enough player. So just looking at some of the players, like, you've got ahead of him, you might still be rolling out, like, Tutu Atwell at this point in the season, or Rashid Shaheed, or Jaxon Smith-Njigba. Like, those are some of the names. Wandale Robinson, those are some of the players that you like more than Reynolds right now, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, and people simply say, well, what's he done? He's, you know, but he was a 72% snap count this past week in week 6, which was by far his largest of the season. So he got a pretty big jump there, which is encouraging to see. He only played 4 fewer snaps than Tyler Lockett. So he's getting on the field, which tells me that the coaching staff is more comfortable with him and where he is in the offense and knowing where he's supposed to be on the field at all times and understanding his different assignments. So I kind of feel like that it's coming for Jaxon Smith-Njigba. So I would definitely rather start him over Josh Reynolds. We all know what kind of talent he is. He's a first-round talent. He was the undisputed wide receiver 1 in this class coming into the year. People were kind of falling all over themselves to talk about how great this guy was back in February and March. So you have the opportunity here for him to have a breakout game. I think it's more likely that that happens than it is for Josh Reynolds to kind of come in here and blow it away for us, especially with as the third option at best in that offense.
Yeah, and both Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf have popped up on the injury report this week. Not sure how serious it is, but JSN could get some more work there for sure. Yeah. So, okay, let's get to a Discord sit start. We didn't have one for wide receivers really this week. There's a lot of running back questions. So I stole one from one of my dynasty teams. I know on the surface, this is going to sound like these are really good names, and I'm crying about a really good situation here. But the injuries at quarterback have made this a little trickier. So I have to sit one of these players, Drew. DJ Moore with no Justin Fields against the Raiders. Devontae Adams at Chicago with no Jimmy Garoppolo. And then Brandon Ayuk against the Vikings. Chris Godwin against the Falcons. I'm not exactly dealing with a top-notch group of quarterbacks for these guys. So if I had to sit one of them, who would you be sitting?
Well, I'm definitely starting Ayuk for sure. That's the no-brainer for me out of this group. And I think Devontae Adams is a safe start as well, no matter who the quarterback is. I think he's going to get his. I think minimally you're going to get, you know, 7 or 8, 6 to 8 catches from him, and probably anywhere from, 50, 60 yards to upwards of, 80 or 90, depending on the situation and how he's used. So I think you're safe. I think you have a high enough floor with Adams. And Ayuk, I think, still has ceiling. As well as floor with Samuel out as well. So to me, it comes down to who would you rather start? Would you rather start Chris Godwin in Atlanta and against Atlanta and in a situation where the Desmond Ridder has actually been throwing the ball a little bit more? And maybe the game script there might be different than what we think. And maybe there might be more plays run in that game than we think. Or you're looking at DJ Moore against the Raiders in that pass rush led by Max Crosby. And then you've got, we don't even know who the quarterback's going to be. We think it's going to be Tyson Badgen, I guess. To me, that's where I'm at. I don't feel as good about DJ Moore's situation as I deal about Chris Godwin. So as much as it pains me to say it, I probably want to sit DJ Moore.
Yeah, as soon as you started going through that and I pictured what that Bears – Raiders game is going to look like, that feels like an awfully slow paced game. A lot of running, not a lot of possessions, maybe just a lot of ugly play. So I agree with that. I think DJ Moore is the one to sit here. Baker is not great, but he has at least been a competent quarterback for Chris Godwin. So, okay. Yeah. I feel better, dude. I feel better about this decision. I'm going to go ahead. I had Godwin on the bench, but I'm going to put Hinneman for more. So thank you for that. Okay. Before we move on to the streamers, any wide receivers, any running backs that we didn't get to that you just kind of wanted to hit before we move on?
Well, we talked before about Roshan. We talked about Craig Reynolds. We talked about Zach Evans. Kareem Hunt, I think, kind of burst on the scene a little bit this past week. So he got a pretty significant run. And he, I guess, had 37% snap share. So he's closing in on Jerome Ford, who had a 50% snap share. So I don't think it's an even split just yet, but he's definitely playing himself into a role. Scored a touchdown. It was kind of a little bit of a freak play. So it was a situation where Harrison Bryant, tight end, lined up at quarterback, kind of like a wildcat kind of situation inside the 5-yard line, where people, I think, expected him just kind of run up the gut, like kind of tush push style. And he ended up instead kind of pitching it out to Hunt, who took it around in for the touchdown. So that was pretty cool. It was a cool play. It was cool to see him in there. He looked pretty good. He looked pretty fairly explosive in a game in which the weather was atrocious and against the strong 49ers defense. So he's someone that might be interesting to me if he's still hanging around. A.J. Dillon against that Broncos defense is available in about a third of leagues. I'm not really as excited about A.J. Dillon, but this is the situation. And then maybe another receiver we didn't talk about was Rashee Rice. He was among the targets per route run leaders, top 10 in the NFL. It's just his utilization has been low. So I think Rice has definitely earned, he did it again this past week. I think he's earning himself more and more time. I think it's a matter of time before we really kind of see him kind of getting a significantly larger snap share. Sorry, Mecole Hardman, of what you're walking into, but I don't think this really affects Rashee Rice too much. So those are guys. And Rashid Shaheed also saw a pretty big jump in snap share, 76% last week. So he ended up a wide receiver one. He was one of the top receivers in football last week. We've all been kind of clamoring for him to get involved more. I do worry a little bit about the fact that Derek Carr is on the injury report here. He's got a chest injury. Brandon Lane, who I do a Twitter space with, lives in New Orleans. And he's saying, listen, we need to pump the brakes on Carr. I know what the media is saying, and they're excited about him this week, but he's not healthy. He doesn't look great. So to kind of level set expectations a little bit. So I kind of want to be more excited for Shaheed, but I'm kind of, as much as I really like him and his talent, part of me kind of wants Carr to sit and then let Jameis Winston get out there. Because I think Jameis Winston's capable enough as a backup quarterback to get to chuck it down there to Shaheed and take advantage of that situation. And So I think it might be actually good for them to kind of rest Carver. We'll see. We'll see what happens there. So, yeah, those are some guys, some just a few names. We talked about the other ones that I had on my list for the most part. But, yeah, that's kind of where we're at with running back and receiver.
You've joined the Jameis Winston hive. There's a lot of you out there. I think you get a membership card for that. So that'll be in the mail for you shortly. So it's seems to be fun. I've never quite been there. But, yeah, maybe at this point I would agree that injured Derek Carr is possibly a downgrade from Jameis Winston. So we'll see what happens there. Okay, let's get on to quarterback streamers. As always, check out Benjamin Howler's good piece on the website. They'll go through the streamers for you. We're going to look at players under 60% rostered here. By my count, in Yahoo leagues, there are 18 quarterbacks that are 60% or more rostered. So about half the league has probably got a backup. So it's slim pickings this week, but some of the ones we're looking at, Sam Howell at the Giants, 55%. Baker Mayfield versus the Falcons, 28%. Derek Carr versus Jacksonville, 32%. Russell Wilson versus the Packers, 52%. Daniel Jones versus Washington, 44%. Any of those you like? Any names I left off here? What do you think of quarterback?
Well, Howell for me. He was the quarterback 6 last week, and he plays the New York Giants this week, who are an absolute dumpster fire. So I think Sam Howell's got to be number one. Of that list is probably my number one. So two other guys who are a little bit more owned than 50%. But are still available in a ton of leagues. Jordan Love is 65% owned. That means he's available in a little bit more of a third of leagues. So he plays the Denver Broncos defense. So coming off of a bye, he's got a well-rested group. So Aaron Jones might actually be somewhat healthy. We'll have to see. I'm not going to hold my breath. But Christian Watson should be playing. He'll have Romeo Doubs as well. So he'll have enough firepower, I think, to really kind of exploit that a terrible Denver defense. So also Matthew Stafford, talk about earlier, I picked him up in a league and I'm sitting Trevor Lawrence for him. So if he's out there in a league, I think in your league, I think I would strongly consider adding him for sure.
Yeah, it's tough out there. Not a lot of healthy quarterbacks. And I mean, Baker Mayfield home against Atlanta actually doesn't look too bad. So
not at all.
At least Sam Howell, they'll probably let him sling it. So that's an advantage with him. So, yeah, I think probably Baker or Sam. I'd love to say Derek Carr versus Jacksonville, but just like you mentioned, he doesn't look healthy. So I would wait on him. I would wait on Daniel Jones. They're not healthy right now.
I know this sounds like a hot take, but Baker Mayfield is somebody that I'm definitely not avoiding going forward. So Rashad White has not been that great. He had a great game against the Bears. Okay. But I mean, their offensive line is not terrific there. They're not really great at running the football there. They're going to have some game scripts as well when they're playing, especially outside the division where they're going to have to throw. And frankly, he's got Mike Evans and he's got Chris Godwin. He's got some talented players to throw to. So you could definitely do a lot worse than Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, and I mean, Atlanta's been decent against quarterbacks, but I mean, they have so far faced Bryce Young, Jordan Love, Jared Goff, Trevor Lawrence, Stroud, and then Howell. It hasn't been exactly a murderer's row here. So, yeah, I don't mind Mayfield. Should get a couple touchdowns out of them. They'll put up some points here. So, okay, let's go to tight end. Streaming options under 60% rostered on Yahoo. It's rough at tight end, as always. David Njoku at Indianapolis. Luke Musgrave at Denver, Michael Mayer at Chicago, Gerald Everett at Kansas City, Pat Freiermuth at the Rams. He actually got in a full practice today, so he's on his way back. I just would remind people on Pat Freiermuth that he had 53 yards receiving combined through four games, so maybe name value, he's not quite there. Anyone I left off, like what are you looking at on tight end here?
Yeah, that's a head scratcher for Freiermuth. So we just talked. That's just another proof positive of the indictment of that Steelers offense about in general. Yeah. So Njoku, I'm not. I know he's probably the most owned of this bunch, but I actually like Luke Musgrave more. Musgrave is, I believe, 25% owned, which seems low to me because I know he's a rookie tight end and not supposed to do anything, but he's getting volume. That's what you can ask. That's what you want this position is volume. And he's doing it. And he's had some near misses too with Jordan Love. So they've taken shots down the field with him. So I remember watching the Saints game and they had a shot right down the middle of the field to him, like just right down the seam, just overthrown by a few hairs. So he makes that play and he has a game for an eye popping game with a long touchdown in it. So, and he's already on the radar as it is. So, he's my number one potentially streaming option of this bunch. Number two is not on this list, and that's Logan Thomas. I know he had a stinker last week. I know it was awful, but he's been a fixture for this offense for most of the season so far. And he, again, they play the New York Giants, so I like the potential here for a bounce back. So we just talked about Sam Howell, and Thomas has been one of his favorite targets for most of this year. So he's somebody that's on my radar. Gerald Everett is on our list here. He's interesting to me with Big Mike Williams out. Parham, not Donald Parham, not exactly being 100% picture healthy either. So I think he had a touchdown and he only had three catches or so and a touchdown. But the fact that he did get a touchdown to me is interesting. And he's fast. He's sure-handed. He's a good route runner, and he's going to create mismatches. I think it's a matter of time before they just kind of figure out, oh, wow, we can use Gerald Everett, and that is going to help us win football games. I think his best days are this year are coming. And then also Jonnu Smith not listed. I kind of feel like he's the rich man's Mecole Hardman, or excuse me, the rich man's Mykal Pruitt, in that offense. So it is rich man's Mykal Pruitt, and that he's, you know, just kind of coming in there and getting the targets that we wish went to Kyle Pitts. So Pitts is getting more love now, which is good to see the last few weeks. But Smith's still hanging around and still fantasy relevant. So as long as he's getting the football and as long as he's finding the end zone, which he's doing both of those things, then he's somebody we can't ignore at a position that's pretty weak. So that's pretty much it with everybody else we just talked about. So Michael Mayer, we mentioned before, his snap count has increased. So he's somebody that I'm watching as well, especially against the Bears.
Yeah, I was going to mention Michael Mayer. If it wasn't for the backup quarterback situation, I would be on him. Yeah. Just kind of with Hoyer quarterback, it's a little rough. But he's playing all the two tight end sets. And last week he started playing in the one tight end sets a little more, 11 personnel, and he started throwing the ball a lot. So, yeah, I kind of like taking shots on these rookies. I know usually we hate rookie tight ends, but this year they're actually playing and they're actually showing some flashes. So I think there's more upside there personally as opposed to, you know, just rostering Gerald Everett for the – fifth year in a row or whatever. So he's burnt me a few times, but I don't think he's a bad play either. But I think there's a little more upside with these rookies. So, okay, let's get on to defense streaming options under 60% rostered. Just some options in most Yahoo leagues that are available. Rams defense home against the Steelers, Seattle defense home against the Cardinals. I will also note a bonus for the Seattle defense. They play the Browns next week if there's no Deshaun Watson. So that's two decent matchups in a row for Seattle defense. Las Vegas at Chicago is available in 53% of leagues. Few others, Washington at the Giants, Indianapolis home against Cleveland if no Watson, or Cleveland on the other side, Chicago home against the Raiders. Like, there's lots of options because there are lots of backup quarterbacks. So what do you think this week, Drew?
Yeah, my number one is Cleveland against Indianapolis. So Gardner Minshew had four turnovers against the Jaguars this past week. And I watched that game, and frankly, I'm surprised it was only four because he got away with a few of them. There was some interceptions just flat-out dropped, multiple interceptions flat-out dropped. So it could have been a lot uglier than it was. So I think the Cleveland Browns have played as well as anybody from a defensive standpoint this year. And they're in the conversation for best defense in the NFL. So throwing them up against Minshew, that interests me. And then I think the Raiders, we talked about Max Crosby going up against who knows for the Chicago Bears without Justin Fields. So those two, I think, are my top targets from a streaming defense perspective. And maybe Washington against the Giants as well. We don't really know if we're going to get Daniel Jones or Tyrod Taylor or what we're getting there. But Washington can get after it a little bit as well.
All right. And yeah, I mean, like I kind of hinted at, I personally have picked up Seattle in a lot of leagues. I like the home matchup against Arizona this week, potential matchup against PJ Walker against Cleveland next week. And Seattle's had a little bit of a pass rush going, so I don't mind them either. Good offense. They'll put up some points, get a lead. So, I think that wraps it up. We covered a lot today, a lot of news, so hopefully that was helpful. Please check out the Sit Start article. Of course, though, we've got every single fantasy relevant player covered, so check that out on the website. So, other than that, Drew, anything we missed? Anything you want to hit before we get out of here?
No, just remember to stay on top of those injury reports. They're critical. Sometimes the best ones are the ones that come closer to the game time. Maybe you're somewhere between 8 and 11 a.m. when you start getting the beat reporters, getting the buzz from what's going on inside the towers there. I think sometimes that information is very helpful and useful for some of these kind of muddy situations. So stay tuned to that. Stay tuned for more from QB List. Look out for our SitStart article on Reddit and X and anywhere else. Thanks for your support and have a great week.